This is episode 134 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com.
To go back to just having to repeat it for a fourth, 100th time, kick my brother's ass in the chili cook-off, and just wanted to have that recorded down. And
yeah, and on behalf of your brother, fuck you for bringing up the too many cooks again.
Yep.
Yeah. So, hey, I have to tell you, I did something a little bit unconventional the other day, and I kind of want to challenge people to do this themselves.
Okay.
Running around doing some errands with the girl the other day, and she was going to be a while. She had a hair appointment. And so right next door is one of my favorite local breweries here in town, Brewery Vivant. Now, A, I've never gone in there just by myself. I've always gone in there with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, well, I got time to kill. Took my backpack in with me, went and sat at the bar, drank beer, and read comics.
Anyone want to ask you what you were doing?
Actually, a couple people, like, one was some people that sat down next to me. They just, you know, they asked, what are you reading? And, you know, it was actually a girl. She's like, do you mind if I ask what you're reading? And I could hear all of them talking to each other. Is that guy reading comic books at the bar? Yeah, I'm reading comic books at the bar. I've done it in restaurants and stuff like that before, but I've never just done it at a bar or a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the bartenders, you know, kind of asked, you know, he goes, hey, what are you reading? And it turns out he reads comics as well.
A conversation starter.
Yeah. So, it was kind of fun to go out and read comics in a different public forum. And so I think it would be very cool for people to take pictures of places where they're reading comics.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did post a picture of my beer and my comic and popped it up there, which actually I'm going to be talking about that comic later. And also, have to give a huge shout-out to our good buddy Jim Toe.
Haven't heard about Jim in forever.
Well, if you picked up this week's issue of Nailbiter, number 9, Jim has a pinup in the back.
Really?
Yeah.
How the hell did that happen?
From what I understand, it was just, you know, he was drawing one of the characters and showed it to the creators of that book, and it ended up getting published in the most recent issue.
Yeah, no wonder we haven't heard from him. He's in his penthouse in New York City, you know, living the big life with his fat check that he got for that. And
A, no. B, no. C, fuck no. But, yeah, so congrats, Jim, and I hope a lot of people can go out there and take a peek. And he's also got his online webcomic, which I don't know how many pages in it is now, but it's called Silver Plague, which is really cool. So if you guys want to check that out, just look up Silver Plague. I believe it's just silverplague.com.
Tell about the quick random story you were telling me before.
Oh, no. That's more of a personal thing that we'll keep.
Okay, so. But I don't know. I just kind of like being more self-aware out there that we are heard around the globe, and
yeah, it's
people know us.
Well, and actually, what I will say is thank you to everybody that listens. You know, we appreciate it. It's something that we never really considered when we started doing this, was
people would actually listen.
that as many people would listen as they do. Mm-hmm.
Because of that, later on today we're going to announce a very special
surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
for those that do listen.
So stick around till the end of the show. We'll announce it then.
Or fast forward if you're really like that.
Yeah, and if you're that person, thank you, but I still hate you a little.
That person, secretly we're gonna put it in the middle, so you gotta listen.
Yeah.
Really, is at the end.
At the end we'll like go. Actually, oh god, we totally should have planned this in advance. So at the end we go, oh, did you fast forward? Yeah, it's in the middle. All right. Tony, we got some books this week for Off the Shelf. And before I get into my books, I was a little surprised this week at my own poll.
What? How so?
It wasn't a huge poll, you know, which I was surprised after two, like last week being insanely short, the week before that being short, this also being a short week.
Yeah, I was surprised. Mine was the same way. And I was like, okay, now it's really making me think. It's going to be the fourth week of in a row, three short weeks. They all are going to have to come out next week.
Like I'm terrified that I'm going to have, like, you know, a triple digit, you know, bill when I go next.
And that's
Wednesday.
What sucks. You need to spread around the books. We have books to talk about on those off weeks.
Yeah.
And not the huge 1 week that they'll come out.
Well, and I was actually talking. Oh, by the way, I'm Derek. That's Tony for new listeners.
And we're drunk on comics if you got this far and didn't know which podcast you're listening to.
It's probably because it just fast forwarded past the actual intro. No, I was talking to one of the guys at my local shop, and you know, we were talking about how like that week between the holidays is always a really dead week, but I don't like that, and you know, I guess there are some retailers that's what they like, but you know, he was saying his personal opinion, he would rather it just be a regular week, and it makes sense to me because it's not like that week between Christmas and New Year, it's not like they don't have to pay the rent that week or pay their employees that week.
Especially if, like, Christmas stuff falls on a Saturday or something. You still have your Wednesday people coming in. I guess the only time would be that 1 year where Christmas falls on Wednesday, in which case that's right in the middle of the week. Yep. So maybe that would be, like, a lazy week to not really do shit.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen every year.
No. No. So, anyway. All right. Do you want to kick it off or you want me to start? Oh, actually, what I was going to say about my poll. God, I'm fucking retarded today.
Just today?
Yeah. Well, like extra. I'm extra dumb. So the surprising part was, for as much as I've whittled down my big two books, Marvel comprised half of my poll this week.
Wow.
Which that hasn't happened in months upon months, if not, like, well over a year. But, anyway, that was just kind of something to...
Well, one of the books that I know that you picked up, and I will just start it, was a very amazing number one. And from everything that I've heard online, rave reviews for Ant-Man number one, written by Nick Spencer, art by Roman Rosanas, Jordan Boyd for colorist, and I guess we'll start. I'm always a person of story more than art, but I will say these pages and these layouts and how they did the morphing of him to small to big. There's a particular 3-page panel where him kind of being relatively the same size, but the ants are getting bigger, which means for you in your mind, you're knowing that he's shrinking. Was really beautifully done, and all in all, the everything else within the book really fit the same style. This was more funny at times than serious, you know.
There was some really damn good writing in here by Nick Spencer. I mean, like I was reading this book, like, you know, you were in the same room while I was reading it. You heard me, like, laughing out loud a couple times.
Yeah, and I was glad that you even mentioned those particular quotes, because I was like, those were some of them that I wanted to mention, such as him just making fun of Tony Stark of, like, oh, I ran into the ground, and
yeah.
Even aliens don't like me.
Yeah, I kind of got Captain America killed. Yeah. Oops.
And I'm just, like, reading this, like, okay, he's doing a lot of pop culture, even throughout this whole book, that didn't feel forced. You know, like, let's just say when a real-life thing happens, like 9/11, and it seems almost forced that comic books have to say something that happened in real-life events, where he's taking stuff that happened in comic books, but even the Battle Royale joke.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel run into the ground. It just feels natural for that's how he would talk.
And that I will say, this is some of the nicest writing. You know, and I do like my big two books, but I've gotten more involved in the creator-owned stuff. This is some of the nicest writing I've seen on, like, an already established property in a long time. You know, I mean, it felt very, very natural. I don't necessarily like the Scott Lang character.
See, that's what I was going to also say, that it needs to be known as this is the Scott Lang Ant-Man, who is the newest iteration of Ant-Man, compared to Hank Pym, who was the original. Marvel has kind of written off Hank Pym. He's still around, but obviously their new choice in their movie character Ant-Man is going to be the Scott Lang character, who, as I've said, has currently been Ant-Man for a while. It's weird when people have the same identity and almost the same exact, you know, superhero power, but picking which one was the better of the Ant-Mans, Hank Pym is definitely more the scientist. He's the one that created it. I don't think it would have been as fun of a book with him.
Well, and Hank is definitely more of the golden child poster boy, tends to be a lot more of a goody two-shoes, whereas why I said I don't like Scott Lang, I don't mean I'm not saying I don't like the character for the book. I'm like, I think it's a good choice. I don't like him. If he was a real person, I wouldn't like him.
And that's where I guess I differ, because knowing that, yeah, he was kind of a criminal burglar and stuff, all right, yeah, you know, you're a bad guy. That he's trying to reform, and the reason why, I have a lot of heart for him, because it's all about his daughter. And he's really trying to strive. So while reading this, you're kind of like, I mean, he's kind of a wise ass, but that's kind of funny, you know, in a sense of that's kind of like us. But he at least has a good motivation for why he's kind of a dick sometimes.
Where the compliment lies in this, the reason I enjoyed this book is because I don't like Scott Lang.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. It was incredibly compelling to read because you want to like this character, but you don't. And there's a weird dichotomy there for me where I'm sitting there with this character that I'm like going, this guy's a dick. I don't want him to succeed. But at the same time, you do want him to succeed. You want, like, you're like, he doesn't deserve to win, but you want things to work out for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the weirdest thing in here. I actually really, really enjoyed it to the point where, yes, I already know I'm definitely picking up issue two. Anyway, I didn't mean to bowl over your review here. But
but like that just kind of goes in point of like that you want to read about him a little bit more and get to know him says something good about that writing, about mm-hmm. the character. And it was one thing in particular when I was reading this that I had to do some research. Having known this character previously, he was last on Fantastic Four when the Fantastic Four group were traveling through space and time. Him and Medusa and the Thing girl, suit armor, you know, he was Ant-Man in there and he was in charge of them. And he pretty much saved the Future Foundation from Dr. Doom. And I know I talked about it on the show then of he had unlocked the Z, Y, and X axis of Pym particles and knew how to become stronger and this and that. And he always had this huge beef with Dr. Doom because Dr. Doom killed his daughter. So while I'm reading this book and I'm like, and here's his daughter, what the fuck happened?
Well, and it says that he was dead too.
He was dead, and I do remember that he was dead. That was more than a couple years ago, but like he got resurrected, so his character now has since resurrected. But as far as I knew, that was only a year ago that he kicked Dr. Doom's ass. Where in the last year did his daughter come back? So I went to the, you know, gods of Google and typed in this, and actually it was in Axis. It was the one off book of Axis that happened with Dr. Doom being a good guy. He had felt bad for having killed her. His one act was to resurrect her body, do his mystical mumbo-jumbo, and brought her back to life.
Mm.
So when it comes to a standpoint of Marvel not just forgetting all continuity, they actually made it happen within their other story structure to have him have his daughter back, which I thought, okay, plausible, you know, Mythbusters, that happened, so therefore now I'll keep reading this book. Like, I had to stop midway and say, are you totally retconning Scott Lang's character, which was his motivation was at that time then revenge, and he got it, So it's great now that he has that dynamic too, where he's trying to take care of her.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why when you see the interaction with him and his wife, she doesn't want his daughter to be anywhere near him for the possibility of being dead again. And it's a very real-life situation where...
Ex-wife.
Yeah, ex-wife.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, the characters felt so real that the ex-wife was pretty much like, we're getting the fuck out of New York. This shit happens way too much. We're moving down to Miami. Sure, there may be random stuff, mutants everywhere, but not as much as shit happens in New York. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's a real-life scenario that I think a lot of New Yorkers should take.
Yeah.
Get out of that fucking city. So... having known all this, the writing to introduce his character was flawless. It was his resume. It was him going in for an interview, which he had to talk about his background, which really let a new reader who didn't have any clue to who he was, or some people that knew a little bit, like you did, you've heard of his character before.
I've heard the name, but I couldn't have told you a thing about him. Yeah. So yeah, this was great.
And that just in and of itself, him proving to Tony Stark within here that he had what it took to be the head of security. And then it's in those last couple pages to finally wrap this up was he then threw all that. He finally had a lot of money, finally had made it big. He was going to get paid a lot to actually be with his daughter who got sent down to Miami. Of course, being a person who has no apartment, no money to afford anything, what does he do? He goes to the local Toys R Us, buys a little Barbie and Ken living room set, and there he can shrink down and have his giant penthouse apartment on the roof of some random building. Like, he can carry his apartment with him and put it wherever he wants. He can put it on the beach. Like, that in itself is a fascinating, fun way to use his powers in a comedic way.
And I loved his quote-unquote big screen TV in the tiny little apartment. Was he and his daughter are watching that Battle Royale movie.
That Hunger Games knockoff.
Yeah. and the big screen TV is like an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's fucking genius.
Yeah. So you kind of start thinking, man, this creative team is really is pulling out all the punches to like make it seem how, yeah, a lot of people make fun of you shrink down to an ant. That seems kind of lame. But that seems kind of fucking badass.
Well, you know, and I liked some of the stuff that Spencer did too in here, talking about how, yes, the character sounds lame. Like, the very beginning, he's like, yeah, so, you know, you're at a superhero party, and there's a guy who's like, I'm an immortal god who can rain down thunder and lightning, and then there's this guy, yeah, I'm the mutant king of Atlantis. And then a woman goes, and what do you do? And he's like, I can shrink down really small and talk to ants.
Yeah.
He's like, I know, I get it. It doesn't sound that cool, but it is. I liked that. Spencer did a great job in the writing of making Scott Lang feel, like, very relatable.
Well, he's more of an everyday character person.
Yeah. And I guess, well, and that's one of the reasons why I've always liked Daredevil. I like the street-level hero. I like the everyday guy. And I guess... And I like the guy that has a little bit of struggle, too. Because I guess, like, Thor, one of the problems I've always had, what the fuck does Thor have to worry about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the fuck does Tony Stark have to worry about? You know, those kind of things don't really do a lot for me. I like the guys that, like, Matt Murdock, how the fuck am I going to pay my rent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that kind of thing. We need more cases. Oh, shit, all the cases we're doing are for free. You know, that kind of... I just really have enjoyed what they did here. The one thing that surprised me was how long it took me to read this book.
Yeah, it was wordy and long.
A ton of panels. And, you know, Rosanas did a great job, I think, for as many words are in there, being able to transition you through and walk you through so that it didn't bog down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this was a hell of a creative team. I was really fucking impressed.
So, yep.
All right, cool. Well, I've got another Marvel book, which I haven't talked about a Marvel book in a while. Wolverine's number one, and I got the Canada variant because it was there, and I'm just like,
I love Canada variants where it's let's just throw our flag in somehow.
Yeah, it's the same picture, just with the Canadian flag in the back. It's like, everybody loves a maple leaf. All right, this book here. Now, I do want to say, I have not been, after Death of Wolverine, I think I picked up one of the books, and I haven't read anything else.
Yeah, I've really, after Death of Wolverine, I've kind of, you know, some of the stories from what I've heard are kind of compelling to see the after effects of Wolverine. Actually, no, I lied. I picked up a Deadpool Wolverine tie-in. But other than that, I'm just like, he's dead. The world's going to move on until he gets resurrected. You know, so I'm not really picking up any.
Yeah.
So what made you want to pick this one up?
Just curiosity to kind of see what's going on. And also Charles Soule was writing it.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, you know, I want to see, you know, and a lot of it goes back to when we talked to Charles, and his biggest reason for wanting to kill Wolverine was to see how the world would change without Wolverine in it. Not as much about just killing Wolverine, but how that would affect everybody in the Marvel Universe. And so I'm like, all right, cool. You know, this book, basically, you know, you've got Mystique, Sabretooth, X-23, Lady Deathstrike, and Daken.
Okay.
And here's my question. Wolverine killed Daken.
Here's the thing, because...
A few years ago. Yeah. And I'm confused because I didn't know that Daken got resurrected.
This was one of the things that I found on a forum, which... I only know two things within this book. One, people were talking about Daken. Two, towards the end, that I'm sure you'll bring up. The Daken part annoys me a bit. I do know how he got brought back. And that was in Uncanny Avengers with the Apocalypse twins. Apocalypse always has his four horsemen. They resurrected Century. What's his name? Irish Banshee. Daken and, the Reaper, Grim Reaper or something.
Okay, yeah.
Those were the four horsemen. Daken, last I knew, was with, I believe, Grim Reaper, and carried the unconscious Apocalypse twins from that. And Uncanny Avengers then went straight into Axis, so they haven't really done anything with those characters anymore. I know that Sentry and Banshee, being good guys, they took away the ionic whatever that resurrected them. Daken, last I knew, because these horsemen were purple glowing energy kind of things. So Daken had, like, energy claws and stuff. Why he's normal now, I have no fucking clue.
Okay.
Well, but that's how he got resurrected, at least.
All right.
How he got to his present back to normal, I don't know. It was actually a dumb resurrection. It was kind of like,
All right. So I do have a slight complaint, I guess, is that, you know, this is called Wolverines, and it's a number one. And this picks up from clearly another storyline.
Okay.
So, okay. You know, I mean, it's like, which I'm fine with just jumping in.
Was there a brief recap of, like, what might have happened?
Well, okay, I normally skip those because I normally like to read the story and see. And I'm like, 5-6 pages in, I'm like, okay, I need to go back and find out what the fuck's going on, because I'm kind of lost here.
Yeah, because last we knew, Wolverine died encased in adamantium.
And he still is.
Yeah.
And basically what this story is you've got, you know, you've got those old foes, you know, or people that were tied to Wolverine that are going back to Paradise, which is the facility where Dr. Cornelius was. And I'm assuming they're going back to, like, they're going back to collect Wolverine. And there's also these four, I think it was, people that were test subjects at that place as well, that they're kind of on this, I don't understand exactly, but from what I gather, if they weren't ever supposed to be able to leave Paradise. And he put something, Cornelius put something, he fucked with their DNA to bring out all these different powers in each one of them. But it's also basically, it's like a time bomb. Like, you know, where their DNA is just going to kill themselves at some point. There was one character in here who I thought was, the character was interesting. He's incredibly strong. and but he's physically addicted to violence. If he does not have some kind of violent, like, interaction, his body actually starts poisoning himself.
That's brutal. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a really cool thing.
It's really fucked up that the good doctor would just, oh yeah, let's just throw this in for spice and nice and everything. Like,
yeah. So, by the way, Nick Bradshaw did pencils. Walden Wong did inks on this. And colors were by Placencia. First name is FCO. I don't know. Like FCO Placencia. I don't know. So, Nick Bradshaw has a little bit more of kind of an animated style to it, and there's a lot of big splash pages in here, but the book does flow very well. This book reminded me in a lot of ways of old, kind of like more Chris Claremont era, and even like Jack Kirby, you know, Stan Lee era, in the fact that you've got a big team up of these different characters and you're kind of introducing people to who these characters are and giving a little bit of a backstory. And the enemies are this group of four people called the Wrecking Crew. And, you know, you've got...
You know the Wrecking Crew, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Wrecking Crew, to me, is such a Silver Age feel.
Well, they've... Whenever they randomly pop up... Because, yes, as you're saying, yeah, Silver Age. I always kind of laugh to myself of, like, the most motley crew of, like, bad guys. And how it kind of makes sense how they came together.
But... Well, you know, and that they're, you know, you've got Pile Driver and Bulldozer. And, you know, the one guy's got a crowbar. And the other guy's got, like, an actual wrecking ball. And it's like, wow, it's so cheesy. But you know what? It's actually kind of funny. So, you know, that as far as the book itself, the one reason that I really wanted to bring it up, A, was I wanted to talk to you about Dakin because I didn't have time to go and do research on this. B, they do find Wolverine in here. And did you hear who shows up at the end?
Yeah, that's what got me interested in some of this part of this book.
Yeah, Mr. Sinister. Oh, yeah, spoilers. Mr. Sinister shows up. And Sinister, being the geneticist that he is, he wants nothing to do with X-23 because he's just like, psh, you're a clone. But he rips off Dakin's arm and tears out one of his eyeballs.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. I just heard he showed up. I didn't know that he...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because like I said, the forum in the still shot was that page before where it shows... I thought that was the end, like the big reveal. Holy shit, that got awesome.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, he just tears his arm off. Like, just rip, and then just gouges an eyeball out. And here's where the, you know, X-23 tries to fight, but Sinister just fucking throws her like a paper doll. I guess I didn't ever really remember Sinister having that kind of power, but it's been a long time
since. Well, see, here's the thing. I've always known he's one of my favorite of bad guys, just with what he does, manipulating things. I believed that he was strong, powerful like that, but he's never really done that in pages. He's always just kind of the brooding or, like, you know, Dr. Claw, like, sit in his chair type person. I've never seen him physically do
stuff.
He's
always had the lackeys to do shit for him.
Yeah.
And so he teleports in, steals Dakin's arm and eyeball and the Wolverine statue and teleports back out. So... that's kind of where it's left.
It's going to be interesting if Dakin's arm grows back.
Well, and here's the catch, and this is why I was kind of hoping that maybe you could shed some light. I'm sure some of our listeners will kind of help out on this. But, you know, the one of the new guys that's there, he's like, well, he's going to be fine because he can heal, right? And Laura, X-23, says, no, the problem is he lost his healing factor. He doesn't have it anymore.
Oh, yeah, that I didn't know that either. Well, like I said, I just knew he came back, but now how he is now.
Yeah. So, interesting twist. You know, I was reading the book. I was enjoying it. And the end, yeah, sorry, I really spoiled this one for people. But it's worth seeing because the trend, like that one page alone from Bradshaw where Sinister's ripping his arm off and tearing his eyeball out, that's one of the most beautiful pages I've seen in a while as far as just actual composition of it, just because the way the panels are, what's going on. I mean, the gutters have like this ink splash or black and white blood splatter, if you would, in the background. It's just fucking brutal, and his line work is gorgeous in this. So,
well, like I said, from what I saw online of just him showing up, made me want to almost go back to my shop to get this book, but I was like, I'm definitely going to pick up number two to find out what the hell is Sinister doing. That just makes me giddy of like, fuck yeah, I'm getting number two now. Like, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was shocking. So yeah. I haven't talked much Marvel lately, but that one, I was like, okay, all right, Charles, you got me. So, anyway, that does it for Off the Shelf this week. Should we jump over to some news?
Yeah. What do you got right now?
Something that made me incredibly happy. This, I think, is the best news I've heard in a long time.
Okay.
Deadpool's gonna die.
Fuck you. First off, we've talked about how the last couple weeks have been low on books and low on news. This week, there was a lot of news. So out of all the ones that you had to start with, asshole.
What's even funnier is, you know, I was picking up Wolverines at my comic shop, and one or a couple of the guys down there, they're like, you're picking this up? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of curious. And they were shocked too, because like I said, half my stack this week was Marvel books, and they're like, well, this is different for you. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know, it just kind of worked that way. But they're like, so what are you thinking of the whole death of Wolverine? I'm like, I hadn't read it, blah blah blah. I go, I'm just praying that they'll fucking kill Deadpool. And they're like, there's no way Marvel will kill Deadpool. He's their cash cow right now. I go, Wolverine was their cash cow, but they killed him. So why can't they kill Deadpool? Sure enough, boom. What do we find out? Killing Deadpool.
Yeah, and not going to lie, though. Loving him as a character, I hope this will... just like Wolverine, I know it's not the end. Just the end for now, which, to be honest, my wallet could actually thank him for dying with his many different fucking books he's in. I think he's going to go out with a bang. From some of the news I've said, there's even going to be something where he gets the Infinity Gauntlet, so can't wait to see that. Ultimately, I'm okay with this, because it'll be good storytelling.
And
I'll be able to talk about Deadpool a lot more until then, and then...
I think my fear is, because Deadpool is so... What's the word I'm looking for?
Fun?
Just, he's so chaotic, as far as anything can happen kind of goes, that realistically, I'm just waiting for it to be like, you know, normal thing, the normal story's ending, and then all of a sudden, oh... breaking the fourth wall, Deadpool from another universe pops in, cuts off his head, and leaves.
Afterlife with Deadpool.
Please, no. So, yeah, anyway, that's happening this year sometime. So, Tony, what else did you have?
Something that when I found this, I thought it was interesting. And that is, Eric Powell has announced the final book with the Goon in the title. Now, at first, I had thought this said the final Goon book, and I'm like, what the fuck? Is he retiring? Is he just getting rid of this? And then I'm like, Goon in the title? Okay, that is interesting as well. Reading a little bit more up on what it was he's felt that this book, this world that he's created, has gone beyond just the Goon. There's so many other characters within here that to just call it the Goon is giving a disservice to all these other characters in there. So I thought... that's a really compelling reason to change a title that's been there for years.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. So that's kind of a cool, interesting take on talking points.
That is. So, Tony, I know one of the things that I've bugged you forever, and I know you're almost caught up now, is wanting you to read Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the one thing that I've told everybody that they really should read. And a lot of people, too, have always wanted to kind of like check out people that are fans of The Walking Dead TV show, but haven't really wanted to get into that. Humble Bundle has an awesome, awesome bundle out right now.
Dude, it's a huge fucking bundle.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. And it's all Image books. And basically, you know, at this, you know, there's, by the time this comes out, there's going to be about 9 days left of this. Maybe just a little over. But just some of the, like, you know, I'm going to list off a couple. You've got 6 issues of Deadly Class. You've got, you know, 5 issues of Elephant Men. Volume 1 of God Hates Astronauts, which that's one that everybody needs to get. If you're paying $18, you're going to get 48 issues of The Walking Dead. The first, like, book of East of West, and the first 18 issues of Saga. Like, for $18, those 3 books alone, holy fuck. But 10 issues of Manhattan Project, 5 issues of Velvet, 5 issues of Sex Criminals, Witches #1, The Fade Out #1. There's even more stuff coming later.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. They keep, from when I first heard about this Humble Bundle and looking at it, I'm like, holy shit. And there's more that they keep adding. You get in now, and you're going to get all those when they keep adding more.
And I actually, like, I own a lot of these books, but I think I'm just going to suck it up and say, you know what? Yeah. Because there are some of these that, you know, I only picked up 1 or 2 issues and I didn't continue on with. And so, like The Fuse, I kind of wanted to see where that was going. I didn't continue. Manhattan Projects, I think I stopped after 6 issues or 5 issues. And I've heard how amazing that story is. And I've kind of wanted to get back into that. So, you know, Alex and Ada, that was a book that I really wanted to get into. Deadly Class, that was a book I wanted to get into. So, I mean, like, for $18, I mean, shit, that's the price of, you know, 5 to 6 comics. And, yeah, I think I'm going to have to do this one. So, but anyway, go to humblebundle.com if you guys want to check that out. What else, Tone?
Everyone knows that there's Daredevil in the works for a Netflix series, yep. And they finally said the date, April 10th at 12:01. So that's coming up. That's only a couple months away. When you think about the news recently is casting and stuff, like, my mind always thinks...
They're pretty much done shooting.
Well, that's the thing. Well, but they were just announced. It felt like, I don't know, my mind thinks that it takes a lot longer to make, well, movies and stuff, but even putting those in the small format of TV shows, and you're thinking there's got to be a lot more production, this and that they've just finished shooting. That's only a couple months away, like editing all that. It seems like they're going to be on over, you know, drive mode to get it done. But
well, they've been doing it for a while, you know. But I'm blanking on his name.
What, the guy that's doing it?
The guy that we talked to at the Grand Rapids Comic Con, Peter.
Yeah, I forget his name, but yeah, who has something going on with it?
Takata, I think was his last name.
Yeah,
I think. I apologize, but we talked to him. He really couldn't say a whole lot other than, like, he just talked about, like, how fun it is to work with the people and stuff like that, and, you know, just how, like, he could not stop talking about how amazing Vincent D'Onofrio is as Kingpin. And which is funny because I was a little leery of him cast as Kingpin, but hearing from another actor, like, just how fucking amazing he is in this role, I'm like, all right, this might be worth it. Couple things that are all wrapped up under one. Wow, good beer today. is that Diamond Comic Distributors actually put out their Diamond Gem Awards, and this is it's kind of cool to see basically what these are. They talk about, you know, different publishers and different issues and stuff like that. And their best comic book of the year, under $3, was Ms. Marvel number one. Best comic over $3 was Thor number one. So that was kind of cool to see. And that the Thor number one was, you know, the one with the new female Thor. The Ms. Marvel was the new Ms. Marvel because with, you know, the
younger girl. Yeah. It's interesting, though, that Thor, the new Thor, I mean, that was more recently to make this list.
It was still in 2014.
I know, but I'm saying that, like, you would think over time, like, one of those ones may get a little bit more. Like, I can see Ms. Marvel, that was earlier, springtime. That one so late, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's just more or less saying that it's not rigged if, you know, you come out earlier in the season or later in the season.
Now...
A book's a good book.
Tony, their best new comic series they had was Outcast by from Robert Kirkman.
Okay.
Over at Image. All right, you want to guess what the top dollar, like, highest grossing comic of the year was?
Man, I'm trying to think of what all came out. Do a safe bet and go with The Walking Dead?
Possibly for that might actually be for highest number of issues, but top grossing was Amazing Spider-Man number one.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. I mean, yeah, a lot of people bought that.
Well, it was a fucking like $8 book.
Oh yeah.
So it kind of skews the numbers a little bit when you're a little over two times the price of most books.
Okay, yep, I could totally see that beating hands down. I mean, there were a lot of people that bought it, which also brought up that number. Yeah, when you pretty much double the price.
Yeah. So now top dollar publisher of the year was also Marvel.
Okay.
Now, and I don't know if that includes trades as well as single issues and all that. I'm assuming that it probably does. But some of the more interesting ones, toy manufacturer of the year went to Funko.
Okay, I can see that. They're popping up all over the place.
Yeah, they're Funko popping. Yeah, the little Funko Pop action figures or statues or whatever, they are kind of fun. What?
You said they're kind of fun. I go co.
Oh, Jesus. All right, moving on. All right, Tony, you want to take a stab at which comic book publisher that had over 4% of the market got the Publisher of the Year award?
I'm going to have to guess Marvel.
You'd guess wrong.
Damn it.
Yeah. Actually, Image.
Okay, yeah, I guess I could see that. I mean,
see a lot of stuff.
Hindsight, I'm Captain Hindsight. I see a lot.
Yeah. Well, looking back, it makes a lot of sense when you give me the actual facts.
Real answer.
last one here, and this is one that made me very happy. Comic book publisher of the year with less than 4% of the market.
I'm going to go with Valiant.
Why don't you go with the one comic book publisher on the indie creator-owned shit that I haven't stopped talking about this year?
Which would be?
Guess. Who am I always saying puts out overall the best quality books of any publisher out there?
Oh, okay, I know. Boom.
Yes. Yep. Boom Studios.
I can see that.
So, anyway, huge congrats to everybody over at Boom Studios, from Ross Ritchie, you know, Philip Sadlick, all the way down. You know, congrats, guys. You guys have put out just amazing books, and I'm hoping that next year maybe they'll get Publisher of the Year over 4%, meaning that they can just grow that company. So, that was there's that. I do have a couple other little things that I did want to mention here. We heard about the Ghost in the Shell movie coming out. Scarlett Johansson has officially been announced to star in that.
Okay, that I can see.
You knew about that one.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. So I think that's kind of kind of cool that she's going to be headlining. I think it will draw a lot more attention to the film that way. And let's see, what else did I have? Oh, speaking of Marvel and selling stuff, Marvel is now selling, officially selling Dark Horse's Star Wars comics.
See, that's it. Reading this, it I understand why it makes sense, and I can see that. But the it's strange though, having another publisher take that big of a catalog and now have it under the Marvel logo on front. Well, like
it's yeah.
I never thought I would see that.
Yeah, I can see it. When you're buying the property, you're buying everything that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I like how, and this goes back to one of the few news that we had before the end of the year was how Dark Horse was having that fire sale. Get as much out of, you know, they could.
Dude,
out of
I would have sold that for way, like, I would have been selling that shit for like 10%. Like, fuck, selling it for half off.
Yeah.
Like, just full on clearance, 10%.
And then no one would buy it from Marvel because they would all have it.
Yeah, and you got money. And, I mean, at this point, who cares? You're just trying to get anything extra you can out of it. Scott Lobdell is actually coming back to Aspen Comics with a new series called The Four Points, and that's going to be coming out. Let's see. I'm trying to think of when that's coming out. Sorry, I completely lost it on that. I think that's coming out this spring, in April, if I remember correctly.
That's what I thought April rang a bell.
So, look forward to that. And then, another new series coming out. A new Inhumans series. It's uncanny how this new series is going to be titled.
If I can make words come out correctly.
It's frustrating when every fucking thing is now called The Uncanny.
Yeah, because Avengers, it makes things X-Men, not uncanny. Yeah. Like, uncanny is like the lone them is the ones that aren't the normal. Like, Uncanny X-Men was actually the only uncanny for forever, mm-hmm. which made them uncanny. Now everyone is uncanny, and it's like,
yeah,
get back in your can.
Why can't it be the amazing Inhumans?
Superior Inhumans.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That actually, nope, never mind. We got to wait 2 years for this to get established, and then we'll have them go apeshit.
The Mighty Inhumans. The Incredible Inhumans. Because then you've got alliteration, too. I and I.
You know, now that I think of it, Marvel has reused all those, like, at least, thank God DC doesn't really have that sort of shit. They just have, you know, their own titles, not, you know, mm-hmm. with all these prefixes of stuff. Yeah.
One really good thing, though, that Marvel has done is Marvel teamed up with a radiologist to create a comic book for kids that are getting MRIs to help them get over the fear. Because, you know, they're going to be in that machine for a while. It's loud. It's scary, you know. And they, in order to do it, they teamed up and they've got a special comic that came out where Captain America gets hurt. And he has to go have an MRI, and he's kind of scared in it. And, you know, they kind of walk him through, and he's like, hey, it wasn't really that bad. I just think that's fucking cool.
Yeah, and it makes me want to get an MRI just to get my hands on a copy of this exclusive issue.
I would love to read it. I'd like to see it. But I just thought that was really cool. I love when comic books are used for really good things. Last thing, Tony, that I've got here is, you know a little bit more about this than I do, but there is a video game on eBay right now. There's a couple days left on it, and as of this moment, now when I first saw it, it was at almost $40,000. As of the time of this recording, it's at $99,950.
Yep. This is the original
Stadium Events.
Yeah, which I believe this was the first thing that was packed with the pad.
Yeah, the stomp pad or whatever you mm-hmm. want to call it. It was part of the Family Fun Fitness shit from NES. Came out in 1987. This is a factory sealed. It's basically, it's like a near mint plus. It's as perfect as you're ever going to find. Here's what I don't get. $100,000. Like, I get that maybe it could go for thousands, but it's slabbed in a box, in a sealed package. Whoever buys this is not going to open it and play it. I don't understand.
It's for those rich people to have something exclusive. Now, why it's graded only, what, an 8.5?
No, 85.
Or, 85 out of, yeah, what, 100?
I don't know. But
because this, you would think mint sealed in box, why it wouldn't, well, be 100?
Well, this is near mint plus. I don't know.
Maybe it's the wrinkles on the packaging.
Well, near mint plus, like, normally everything's near mint minus. I've never seen anything anywhere ever that's a near mint plus. But I'm assuming that I don't know if it's 85 out of 100. There might be a different grading scale on these. But it's been proved to be factory sealed. And
it's one of I know it's one of the rarest ones out there. How it became so rare, whether it was just something that, I used to know about this one in particular because I have a little more gaming knowledge. I just do know that it is one of the rarest ones out there. But why? Why are you going to pay for that when you can't even get your fucking Nintendo to work without blowing on the cartridge 10 times and doing like a witch circle around it and praying to all the gods and the many one-eyed creatures of Cthulhu, please let this thing work.
You know, I don't understand. I mean, I bitch enough about slabbing comics. You know, when you can never open them again, and now you just have cover art. Slabbing a video game is even dumber.
Yeah, that could just be the box there, and you wouldn't even know if the game was in there or not.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, yeah. Who knows? It might even be a defective game in there.
That would be the worst. This guy finally decides to open it and doesn't even, or whoever gets it, their kids get into it and like, ooh, a video game. Let's try this. And opens it up and just ruins it.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you guys want to look, just go look up, you know, NES Stadium Events on eBay, and you can see where it's at. But, all right. I got a little Indie Turnpike action here for you, Tony. This week, you know, and I said I was going to try and stay away from number ones as much as I can and talk more number twos. Well, when the last few weeks there hasn't been a whole lot of any numbers, I've been having to do more number ones. This one, this is the book that I tweeted the picture that while I was drinking my beer at the bar the other day. This is Lady Killer, number one from Dark Horse Comics. The story is by Joel Jones and Jamie S. Rich, and Joel did the art in here as well. Laura Allred did colors and Crank did the letters on this. This is basically it's set kind of like in the 1950s era, and you have this woman who turns out she's a hitman. She's an assassin. But she's married, she has a couple little girls, you know, the mother-in-law lives with them, and she tries to pretend to be the perfect little housewife, but yet she's also a killer for hire.
Okay.
And this is just one of those books where, you know, the character, her name's Josie. It's very, very fun to see those double-sided characters, you know, where I think one of the things that everybody always liked about superheroes is that superheroes have their secret identity. Well, she has her secret job. Her husband thinks she's just a housewife, but she goes out and murders people.
See, I like where part the term lady killer, you know, you kind of say that to a guy like, he's a, you know, lady killer, man, you know,
mm-hmm.
pick up women, so that she's actually a lady killer. Killers,
yeah. This is it's just, and this is a beautiful, beautiful book. You know, some of the things that were done in this book by Jones, as far as the artwork from like the perspective and angles, are just really cool. I mean, like, like she's knocking on the door of this woman pretending to be an Avon lady. And
oh, that's an easy way to get in.
Yeah, and she's like, hey, you know, I want to talk to you. But she's putting her hand out. Hi, nice to see you. You know, and that hand looks like it's just coming right out of the fucking panel at you. And it's just all around beautiful, but she does such a nice job of, Joelle Jones does such a nice job of walking you through these different steps in the comic, going from one to the next to the next, that you really can feel the time elapse in here. It speeds up when it's appropriate. It slows down when you want it to. Even in the thick of the action, when things are moving super fast, it's just done very well. And the fact that, like, certain parts of the characters in a panel bleed out across the gutters into another panel, I'm like, this is smart. It's a really, really good storytelling on her part. The one thing that I thought was really interesting, too, though, is there's basically, like, ink splatter on every page that goes on top of the art and out into the gutters, too, which I'm like, it gives it that grittier feel, which both makes you know that while this is a very, very pretty book to look at, it's not pretty, but it, you know, it, because of the content. But at the same time, I like the fact because that little bit of splatter in there makes it almost feel like you're watching an old movie from that, where, you know, you get like a little bit of the static on the screen and whatnot, which most people aren't used to anymore because everything's fucking digital. But I mean, you remember like the little worm that was on the screen because there's a little piece of dust on the lens.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it kind of makes me feel like that, you know, because most people don't remember watching film, you know, but...
Or with you, rock cave drawings.
Oh, no, we hung up a tanned hide that was very, very thin, had a big fire behind it. We did shadow puppets, and those were our gods that we worshipped.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're being serious.
Yes, I am. We're going to sacrifice you later and... eat you, and then we'll imbibe your spirit, and you'll live forever! Yeah. So, anyway, Pick Up Lady Killer, number one. It's just, for as dark of a book it is, it's really fun. You know, it's just kind of, and I love the little, because the front looks like one of those old ads from the 50s where she's mopping up all the blood in a kitchen from somebody that she killed. And the little catchphrase at the bottom says, the perfect solution to those problem stains. Yeah, so it's really solid stuff. So go grab that. That's Indie Turnpike. All right, Tone, what do you got for Booze in a Book this week?
All right, so this Booze in the Book is mainly a book that I just kind of wanted to highlight. Normally on this show, we've always had a good pairing of something we've drank along with the book we've read this week. This week, though, it's a little bit different. It's the book Avengers No More Bullying Number 1, a one-shot. Has a lot of stories from Marvel, including, you know, Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, Hulk, all these other, you know, big Avengers names, to try to stop bullying. And so what I have paired with this is for you listeners to hopefully listen to this at a bar, or if not, next time you go to a bar, ask a person next to you and say, hey, what's your favorite drink? Let me buy that for you. I feel it's a good way to show camaraderie, show friendship, you know, and maybe the person was bullied as a kid and you're, you know, helping them out because of this one book and our pairing of it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and in the off chance that they're like, and you explain it and they're like, well, I've never been bullied, punch them, then buy them the drink. So that you can show them.
Yes.
Hey, look, this is what it's like to be bullied.
And this is your reward afterwards. Yeah. Here's a beer.
Yeah.
Beer doesn't lead to violence. Violence leads to beer.
Yay!
No, but seriously, though, I commend Marvel for making that book, and I kind of just wanted to highlight that within this issue. So there's not a specific beer to pair that one with, but more or less, you know, just show some love and let's end bullying all around. So.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do to kind of help out with this is we have a contest coming up.
We do have a contest.
Yeah. And so we're going to start giving more details starting next week, but we will announce what the prize is right now. And Thanks once again to our awesome sponsor, InkWhiskey.com. We are going to be giving out two of their flasks. So you can have one for yourself and give one to a friend. So even better way to share the anti-bullying. And if you want to be a really good guy, you can fill the flask before you give it to them. So, but yeah, we'll have more details on it. It's going to be two flasks, so you're talking $40 value, not even counting what shipping's going to be. But more details later. Yep. So, all right. Last call?
Last call for me. Oh, man. And actually, it was another light week. Hawkeye versus Deadpool, number 4. Just a weird pairing. And it was going to be what I originally had for Booze in a Book, but I felt this one needed to be highlighted a little bit more. And then The Amazing Spider-Man, number 12. This is such a good story arc. And some of the things within here, as I mentioned before, with some of the different Spider-Men from different worlds, two of them I just need a quick mention. One was they went to Japan and got a couple Japanese, you know, Spider-Men. So they go back to this homeworld and they're like, well, what, you know, what's so good about this guy? Oh, just his giant Mechazord robot that he calls down from the sky, which looks like Voltron, but it's called Leopard or something. And I'm like, hey, that's me, nerdy. Do you remember the old Hanna-Barbera cartoon with the talking, like, scooter, like...
Talking say, mask?
No, it was, like, a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, like, in the realm of Scooby-Doo or Josie and the Pussycats. They always had that one random...
No, I don't
Or the one of the shark. There's one where there's a talking, like, sand buggy
Type thing.
Yeah.
And the buggy kind of was like,
yeah. Vroom,
like when he talked.
There's a Spider-Man buggy that they went
it. Stupid when I did that.
Just saying, they have a Spider-Man buggy thing too, which I was just like kind of laughing.
Well, you remember when they made that spider buggy for a toy?
No.
Yeah, that was an old toy back in the 70s.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, the spider buggy.
Okay, well, here's a talking anamorphic buggy that they're riding in. That
I don't know for sure if that was ever in the comics.
It probably wasn't, but that they threw it in there, obviously they knew that they made the toy. Just it was a small, quick, two-panel, make a joke of a talk. It's a fun book,
yeah.
And that's all I had.
I got my other really good Marvel title this week was Punisher. And, by the way, I did pick up the National Championship covers for both Punisher and Ant-Man, which has nothing to do with football whatsoever, but they're fucking cool covers. So, got that. The Fade Out, number 4. The Woods, number 9. And then, finally, God Hates Astronauts, number 5. Jesus, this book. This book is so funny. One of my favorite things is, you know, we've talked about 3D Cowboy, how he's just kind of the narrator of the story. He gets accidentally punched in this because he just pops up in the wrong panel at the wrong time. It's just fucking fun. So, you know, again, if you guys aren't sure about God Hates Astronauts, go back to that Humble Bundle and you can pick up Volume 1. So, that was those were all my top picks this week.
All right. Well, that kind of does it for me for this week.
I can see that.
So, listeners, keep reading your comics and we'll be back next week to talk to you about them then.
They can see that then, too.